Intercession for the elect. You know, it's real easy when you use this word elect, and it's probably most often understood by many people in as much as they think that makes somebody special. Well, in God's eyes, none of His children are necessarily special. He loves all of His children. And anyone that happens to fall in the category of His elect simply made a good decision at a good time. And that is to say, as it is written in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, they were chosen before the foundations of this earth age. They never wavered toward Satan, nor were they ever deceived. They don't like him. They don't care anything about him. They are jealous and anxious about what he does to their brethren. So, really, they have a responsibility, and that is to see that his word, that his intercession in their lives allows them to accomplish that he would have them accomplish. I want to teach you this word in the Greek, and you're going to get a little more from it because it is used in two different ways in the New Testament. This word, intercession. Now, we can intercede for others in prayer, and we're talking about something a little different today than intercession and prayer. We're talking about your Father through the Holy Spirit interceding in your life. Elijah, the prophet, at one time, he felt very alone. He was down, and he cried out to the Father. And he said, I'm the only one left, it seems. Well, I'm sure that probably in your lifetime it has come to you much the same way, that it would seem that you were all alone and no one wanted to make a stand. You'd tried to plant seed. You'd tried to share God's word. Nobody cared. But there is a real special people. This has nothing to do with the remnant, though the remnant are the same people, but the remnant has existed from the beginning of time, passing on from generation to generation the plan of the living God. But especially in this generation, the generation of the fig tree, we come to a time that God's election, that's to say those that he has chosen, called would be a better word, to hear his plan even in the flesh body. Right, to understand what he intends to do as far as the false Messiah coming, the stand against him, and so forth. It is a privilege indeed to know and understand God's truth. It makes you a very special person in that sense, only in that very few people can see into the depth or even care about the depth of God's word. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. I want to go to that time when Elijah was crying out. And this is very important. You've heard it many, many times. Paul was being asked, does it matter anymore that you're of one of the tribes of Israel? Or now that Christ has paid the price for salvation, is it all the same anyway? Is there no difference? Does it amount to anything as far as the promises made to Israel? Chapter 11, the book of Romans, and it reads, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. No way. For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, he was a Benjamite. Paul was of that tribe. Verse 2, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. And that's a very important word, as you're going to find out in this particular study. Foreknew, knew from before. What ye not that the scriptures say of Elias or Elijah, how he maketh intercession, there's the word, intercession, to God against Israel, saying, verse 3, Lord, they have killed thine prophets. And old Jezebel had killed most of them, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. What did God say in intercession here? 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, there's no gender in this, who have not bowed a knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace, meaning that knows the truth and is passing it on. As you well know, for the elect's sake and for the world's sake, the plan of salvation, whereby that salvation would be open to the Gentile, would not matter all of God's children. The rest were blinded. Absolutely, the spirit of slumber, it is written in your King James, but it's stupor in the Greek, was given them. It's for that reason that sometimes you have great difficulty in seed planting or sharing a thing. They can't see it, regardless of how simple it is, because God has closed their spiritual eye, not necessarily the physical eye, but the spiritual eye, the eye to their mind, whereby they cannot discern those spiritual things more in depth. Now, it is remarkable to me that one of the first signs when you meet someone that possibly is one of God's elect is not that they feel they're something special, but they have extreme compassion on all their fellow man. That's your number one sign. You can almost use that as a rule of thumb of whether someone is or they're playing games. If they think they're somebody special, then probably they're not. If they don't care about God's children, probably they're not. So you have to take the thing that God has given you. In my case, broadcast ministry. Don't ever let anything else get in your way of that. Doesn't matter how it may look or how some might think about it. Never let anybody get in the way of completing the mission that God has and the responsibility that God has placed in your hand to accomplish it. And some might say, well, certainly I'm not in broadcasting. Doesn't matter. You are if you're a member of this group, because that's our sole, one of our sole missions. That's our primary mission, better said. And I'm going to tell you something. It's working. Thousands of souls are being saved. Thousands are being led to the truth. 7,000 is simply a number that means spiritual completeness. That number that God sets aside. And there are many of the ethnos that the kings and the queens are seeing the truth. And they're going to lead their people. Because there's no difference between one of those and one of God's so-called elect. They are leaders. And they are students in God's word. Well, was there any place else that this was ever discussed? And of course there is. In the same book of Romans. Turn back to the 8th chapter of Romans. Chapter 8, let's pick it up with verse 17. Let's just read along here a few verses. Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, by the Spirit, by accepting Christ, if we become children, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, Christ suffered for you. And as much as he paid a price that probably you couldn't, I couldn't, he sacrificed himself on the cross for you to pay the price. But in accepting him and in letting him be your strength, then you become a joint heir. Do you know what an heir is? That's when you inherit something. Your father owns everything from the universe to the earth. all in his hand. He may give you the deed or the title to something for a little while, but pretty soon he's going to call you home. He'll give it to somebody else. It's all his. And his promises that he has made are as real as though they were written on that wall and rolled, scroll before your very eyes. They are that real today when you claim them. Okay? Now, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, did he say, are any of you getting from this that if you're one of God's elect, you're like sitting in a rose garden in an easy chair, and the world goes by in front of you, and he says, that's my precious baby. I'm going to protect that little election and nothing will ever... No, we're hearing words suffering, persecution. In other words, he suffered, and if you're going to be a joint heir, many people will pray, oh, I just want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, hey, have at it, friend. They beat him. They crucified him, scourged him, slandered him, spit up on him. You enjoy that, huh? I'd like to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, get set. If you pray for it, you may get it. And the world will fall apart around you, but you won't. Because he strengthens you when you are at your weakest. You are your strongest. Because he intercedes. He takes over. It's just like a car when it slips into overdrive and begins to really make time. He takes over. All right? Verse 19. For the earnest expectations of the creature, that's the creation, better translated, the very creation, the earth itself, and those things on it, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because when the sons of God do that they are supposed to do, that's to say God's children, don't let that word get into your mind and get you on some ego trip, okay? Because we're all sons of God, gender removed. All of us. Some good, some bad, and some of us ugly even. Okay, be that as it may, he still loves us, all right? Now, I'm referring to myself, no one else, okay? And no pun intended, really, but it did anyway, all right? Now, why? Because before, as we have proof through our documentaries, this earth was a beautiful place to live. It still is, in a sense, but, beloved, it was that way from the North Pole to the South Pole. Buttercups growing in the tundra when those northern blizzards now, that the bitterness of cold and hurt and death. That it was a garden. Same way at the South Pole. It was a garden. No storms, no jet streams. Everything was perfect. Naturally, it groans to go back to that time. Creation does itself. It knows it. God built it into it. Intuitively would be better said. It knows. Verse 20. For the creature, or creation, was made subject to vanity. This is very important. This word vanity in the Hebrew, the Greek, probably the best way for you to look at it in this sense, literally, is profitless. All right? Profitless. It was created, now, subject. The creation was made or subject to profitless. Not profit. What is that saying? It's saying if you don't tend it, if you don't cultivate it, it ain't gonna make you nothing. You are the one that makes the difference in this creation. The choice is yours. It's like the old boy that had the 40 acres, and boy, he had beautiful vineyards and everything, but when he got the 40 acres, it was just a tangle of thorns, and thickets and underbrush, shoemake, oak sprouts. And he got in there and cleaned it up. And one neighbor looked at those beautiful vineyards and says, "Oh, look what God has given you, that 40 acres. Look how beautiful." And the man said, "Well, yes, but you should have seen it when God had it all to himself." Okay. Kind of like John's park next to us here. John would probably say the same thing. You should have seen it when God had it all to himself. All right. But that's important that you know that it's important in your life. The earth was created profitless, subject to profitlessness in the Greek. All right? And unless you tend it, that means in your life, I don't care if you're a profession, I'm not only talking about farming, when you walk this earth, it tends or it's subject to leave you profitless if you don't do it God's way. It's that simple, all right? Not willingly, didn't want to be that way, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Now, what is hope? Hope is for something you haven't seen. Hope is for the person that has the vision, now that we're on it, I'm going to use John's park, of John's eye, that could see what you can see now. Or the 40 acres, the man that had hope to know that if he exercised his wisdom, that there would be a most beautiful vineyard there, very profitable in his life. So you see, God designed your life so that with hope and his promises, hey, you can make it, friend. I don't care what the world does. I don't care what your ideas are. If you do it in and with his blessings, and I don't want to go into all those things that aligns you for that you repent and rejoice in him. That's what starts the blessings flowing after you do the work. All right? But that's the way God created this earth, and it is not going to change in this generation, in this earth age, better said. 21. Because the creature, or the creation, the earth, the elements upon it, itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's going to be made perfect again. The firmament will be replaced above the earth, whereby there are no damaging rays. You'll have something besides the ozone people cry about. Hey, we really had a protector before the ozone was all that was left. It's going back. It's going to be made perfect. 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Labor pains for the birth of a new age. And beloved, you are living in that generation when these things are going to come to pass. I really believe that. From not my any wild idea, but being a student of God's word. 23. And now, only that, and not only they, but ourselves also. I hope you are, beloved. I hope you're looking forward to that. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit, that means God's election. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. It's not going to happen until the manifestation, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, many people think, how my body's going to, that ground's going to plow open and my body's going to pop out of there and I'm going to be redeemed. It's not what it means at all. You had a most perfect body before you got saddled with this. Okay? A spiritual body. It could really do great things. That's what it's talking about, is getting back into that spiritual body, to wit, to be redeemed from the flesh, which is sin, Now, I know some people that have these ideas, well, I'd like to be out of the flesh. You're there for a purpose. Don't take any shortcuts. And stay serious with me. In this generation, beloved, where there are so many suicides, pastors must be very careful when they approach this subject. You were sent here for a purpose. Do your work. That's all I can say, all right? God will let you know when. Now, which have the first fruits of the Spirit when we ourselves groan within ourselves waiting. That means wait until God's ready for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's to say to retain again our spiritual body and put off this flesh which will return to dust. 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Now, there is some very deep thought there, because many of you have seen, and after that, hope doesn't get it. It becomes reality to you, so faith kind of drops out of the picture on that score. Many people pray, God, send an angel and show me. If he does, and you have seen, hope is no longer a thing for you, which is the substance and leads to faith, but it's a reality. And if you break it, then you're in trouble. Sometimes God takes weak people and maybe takes them to the third heaven and shows them things that they have seen. And it's not a thing of faith after that. It's a thing of getting it done. Because you lost out as having hope of something unseen because you have seen. Be real careful when you pray for miracles, for God to show you things. Only weak people do that. Because some people are strong enough, they can live on faith and hope. Though they haven't seen, they know. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a very serious thing. God has a way of saddling people and tightening the old gird up to where the saddle doth not come off. And that's one of the ways he does it. Okay, 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Question. 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. It's a lot easier. You can be a lot more patient. 26. Likewise. Now really sharpen up for me. This is why we came here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's our weakness. Do you know what this word helpeth meaneth in the Greek? It means in union together. He takes hold of the load with you and handles it. It's important. Look, check it out in the Greek yourself with the Strong's Concordance someday. The word helpeth there. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Though you might have a clear view into God's word and understanding, you don't know what today he wants you to do. You don't know positively. You don't know for sure. So what happens? But the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, of course, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, that's to say with sighs, which cannot be uttered. Another very interesting Hebrew word, which means it's not meant to be spoken out loud. He leads you, but not by speaking out loud. It's important that you understand that. I want you to underline this word intercession, because it's one of the only places the Greek word is used in the Bible. It's a special intercession. This intercession is hupa in tongue kino. Hupa is kind of like our English word super. It means above all, superior. When God helps you, it is a supernatural. This, as I stated, is a very special word. Intercession is used in other places in God's Word, but not with huppah connected with it. In other words, the supernatural Holy Spirit, when you don't know what to do, if you're trying, will intercede, will super, get this, super intercede in your life, and with that union, carry it for you. Do you know why Christ, there's many things that allude to this, such as take on Christ's yoke for it. What is a yoke for? It keeps an oxen, though he pulls a heavy load, it keeps it from drawing blood, the tugs. The yoke supports the leather straps to keep them from cutting into the flesh and drawing blood, so you don't shed blood when you're doing Christ's work with his help, when you take him on as your huppah, that is to say, your super intercessor. A very special word in your life, because when he intercedes through the Spirit in your life, it's not something common. It is the presence of an army even above you, to give you whatever help is necessary to accomplish what is according to God's will, not yours, God's will. 27, and he that searcheth the hearts, that's your minds, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, knows what's best, knows what the plan is, knows exactly what's going to happen today everywhere. Because he maketh intercession in tongue, kano, without the hooper, just an intercession this time for the saints. Who are these saints? The set aside ones, God's elect, his called, according to the will of God, or for the purpose of God. Whatever you want to build, friend, as long as it's for him, he'll furnish the bricks, as long as you do what? The work. That's something that's very difficult for some people to get into their heads. He won't help you one iota until you're ready to go to work. Well, you don't understand, brother. I've always been taught it's just faith, just believing. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You believe in this hand and work with this one and see which one gets you the farthest. Okay? I've heard that somewhere. I don't know just where. But anyway, be that as it may, kind of wish I hadn't used it now that I remember where it came from. Oh, well, it gets the message said anyway, doesn't it? But God will help you accomplish what you will accomplish as long as you trust him, as with hope. You know that this world is not profitless to you. You're going to be somebody. Why? You're a joint heir with Christ. You're somebody. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. That's special. And that help is there. And some might say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Then for you, just forget it. Because if you don't believe it, I guarantee you, he's not going to be there for you. You're going to be on your own, all alone. I would far prefer the huppah intercession, that divine intercession. It is really remarkable when governments even try to stop you from going into certain places and you pray about it and say, Father, if you want us there, we're ready to go. And the way he can move nations, if he so chooses. Hooper, I guess. Super, you bet. Our Father is in control. And that is his intercession. This isn't written, as I stated, this is the only place in that 26th verse that that word is used. And it isn't written that it is used for any other peoples than those that are set aside, those that believe. And it is for the will of God, not yours. If you're praying for something you want for yourself, you better pray in God's will. And there's many pastors will tell you that's a cop-out. If you say it's in God's will, it shows weakness, because if it isn't answered, you have to demand that it's answered. Well, if you've got a three-year-old and they're praying for a rattlesnake, are you going to give it to them to sleep with all night in their little sleepers? I think not. Not if you love them, you're not. Well, God has to do you the same way. Sometimes you pray for something that you could get hurt with. Like, I'd like to have an F-16, but I probably wouldn't be able to fly it. I'd probably kill myself, you know. So he probably is not going to give me an F-16, all right? I'll just wait for my special vehicle. I shouldn't say that. He's already given this church a vehicle that is fantastic, our little Cheyenne 4. But you get the point. According to God's will. That's important, that you love him enough. You've always heard the saying, you got to love enough to let go. You know, when as a counselor, when you've said all you can say to a married couple and you can see they're incompatible and you're afraid one of them is going to kill themselves and you run out of words, that's the old standby. Sometimes, my dear, you have to love someone enough to let them go. Okay? Well, sometimes you have to love him enough that you let yourself go. All right? That you stay out of it. That you know if it's the best for you and your family and God's children, your brethren, that that's much better than having it your way. Because we don't know, as he told us in the prior verse, what all we should about this, though sometimes we may think we do. All right? Always rest assured, he knows and he intercedes. Verse 28, therefore you can say this, and we know that all things work together or happen for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, I repeat, called according to his purpose. Again, not yours, his purpose. You might look at that in this way. What would the people have done if Moses hadn't come along? God called him to lead the people out. They would have never been let out, necessarily. He used Moses. What if Moses would have said, ain't no way, God, I'm going to lead those people out of there. I like it pretty good here herding sheep, and I'm going to stay right where I am. Well, God naturally would have had someone else lead him out because he had promised them. But Moses was not interested in doing it Moses' way. He wanted to do it God's way. What is his way? This plan, his word. The book of Revelation, the New Testament and the Old tell you exactly what his plan is if you have read it. What his plans are, and you should have read them. 29. For whom? Here comes the latch. For whom he did foreknow, that means knew from before the foundations, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image, that means looks like, of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that Christ himself would be the firstborn, for he conquered death, he rose above it. And he did that so that he... Why did Christ do it? So that he could have many brethren. Because this is the most important intercession of all. Christ wanted brethren. That means he wanted brothers and sisters. Therefore, he had to pay the price because we can't cut it. We always end up falling short. Now, I don't care how perfect you may think you are. We're not. We always fall short. So do you know what he did? He took your place on the cross. He interceded so that you would not have to go through something like that. Though you may have trials and tribulations, he interceded because he wanted that way of salvation opened up so that you could be his brother, his sister. his close one. So he interceded for you. Just made it wide open so that you could step in to the kingdom of the living God. In that air that even the earth groaneth for at this time, it's coming, my friend. Where are you going to be? Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. I hope you all know what that word means. There are people in this earth that have free will. And yes, they, because they are not of God's election and were not chosen because Satan deceived them in the world it was, and most likely will this one. In the millennium, who knows? Maybe there's hope for them. But for them, it is salvation. But some he predestinated because they earned their wings in that first earth age. Predestinated them to them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. That means judged. Judged there. And whom he judged or justified, them he also glorified. When you read the Zadok of Ezekiel 44, that falls in place. What shall we then say to these things? Question. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. Well, Satan is. Doesn't matter. As long as God is for us, let Satan try all he wants to. God has power over him. And he has given, the most important part is, he has given you power over him. Okay, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, if he didn't spare his son, save him from interceding for you and gave him for you, do you think he's going to hold something else back that's good for you? Answer, no. Not if it's for the benefit of his plan. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Question. It is God that justified. It's God that's going to do the judging, not somebody else. Satan's not going to judge you. God is. And if you're in his good standing, friend, what are you worried about? You have nothing to worry about. 34. Who is he that condemneth? Who is it that's griping at you? Who is it that's complaining about you? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. In other words, right at God's right hand, you have a lawyer sitting that will plead your case, that will take it up before God. You can't lose, my friend. That isn't to say you may not have things your way 100% of the time, because it's going to be God's way, but if you love him enough, hey, that's okay. One more verse, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No way. Or distress? No way. Or persecution? Bring it on. Or famine? Famine for truth? No way. We're going to learn the truth. Or nakedness, or pearl, or sword. Hey, no problem. We have an advocate right at God's side that takes care of us, that does what? Super, or I'll say it in Greek, hupa, intercedes for you. That means a supernatural intercession if it's necessary. I would dare say that there's probably very few people in this room that there hasn't been a time in your life, I know a lot of us old veterans can have probably seen it more than once, that you really shouldn't be alive today. Something happened in a split second, so fast you couldn't see it. Something was in front of you and all of a sudden it was here. But you should have died. But something happened. And it's so easy to say, boy, was I lucky that time. Whoo! You know, it's not luck for God's election. All right? Just doesn't, he doesn't work that way. It would seem that way to the world, but you were in the presence of the living God. Now, Hebrews chapter 7. Let's turn there real quickly in closing. I think that's the one I want. Let's go to verse 22. I want you to know a little bit about your king, your priest. That's to say Melchizedek, which is to say the priest of the just or God's elect. Christ is who I'm talking about. Verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 7. By so much was Jesus made a surety, that's a guarantee, of a better testament. And you a better life. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Human priests and preachers just keep dying off, and they got to be replaced by another preacher. All right? But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. It is anchored in the supernatural, and it shall not change. The world will change back into a beautiful globe, but God's word shall never change. Wherefore, verse 25, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That means anywhere. That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. There it is again. Intercession for them. Friend, I want you to know you can't make it yourself. You can't make it on your own without him, because he's going to intercede. And then, this world that was created to lean to or be subject to profitlessness. Some Greek words you can't translate like you would like to, but you understand what I'm saying. What are you going to do about it? It's subject. In other words, if it has its way and the world has its way, it's going to be profitless to you. You're going to have to do something about it. So you get into it. And then Christ begins to intercede for you, and it becomes a totally different thing. Well, Pastor Murray, that's a beautiful message of intercession. And we're God's elect. I know we've got it made. I'm going to start wearing a rose every day. And I'm certainly going to make sure that I look angelic as possible. Hey, if you're like me, we've lost already. Okay? Because to look like an angel, forget it for some of us. All right, so that's not going to cut it. Did he promise us then that he's going to intercede, and anytime there's a thorn comes along, presto, he's going to reach out and remove that thorn, and we can sail on? I can tell you from the last documentary, that ain't so. All right? That ain't so. I never got in such a mess of fallen timber and scratches and bruises. Okay? You know, we're in the world. And that's written also in conclusion. Hebrews chapter 12. Same book here. Just flip right over there to the 12th chapter. And if you ever get to thinking like, oh, God's picking on me. Surely I couldn't be one of God's elect if I'm supposed to be one of those. Chapter 12. Paul is telling them, hey, you think you're a strong Christian? You haven't resisted the blood yet like Christ did dying on the cross. And furthermore, I will add myself, verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation. You know what exhortation is? That's when somebody gets on your case, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despiseth not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. He's going to do it, especially if you're one of his elect. He's going to come down on you like a load of bricks if you need it, but there's a reason for it. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Do you know what that means? He takes you to the woodshed occasionally. And do you know something? I've never been taken there that I didn't need it. And I never left there that I didn't learn something. It's not to say I didn't, maybe didn't do it again, but the next time the woodshed was harder. If God loves you, he's going to correct you. He didn't promise you any bed of roses. He didn't promise you that you were some angel shut away in a gilded cage swinging across church chapels up in the air so people could see you. All right? Didn't, no way. And when you mess up, because he does love you, he spanks you. He corrects you in one way or the other to say, hey, I want to intercede in your life and get you back on the even path. What are you doing way off over here? What are you doing these things for? When you promised me you were going to be over here. Now, get over there. Gently. But it's called tough love, friend. Now, some of you may pick it up in my ministry. A lot of people say that's the grouchiest old man I've ever heard in my life. Boy, he just really comes down on everybody. Well, it's love. It's hard love. Tough love. It stings me worse than it does anyone else sometimes. But I'm going to teach it with the emotions in which it was written. God loves us, therefore he corrects us, and he can give you one thumping. And the harder you rebel, if you're one of his little elect, the harder he's going to thump. Until he's going, I guarantee you, he's going to get your attention. Verse 8 to complete. But if ye be without chastisement, if you don't get any of this, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So think about it, my friend. Our Father loves us very much, and some you know we deserve correction at times. So don't whimper and complain, just say, thank you, Lord. I'll be there to punch my card in the morning. We'll get it right back to work, all right? As best you can. But God has an election, but they're not something special in that sense. They're hardworking, hard seeking. They and hard loving of our Father's word. They try to protect the brethren that are around them because that is the all brothers of Christ and sisters of Christ just automatically do that because he did. So it's a fantastic message that he has set aside. Always remember there are two ends to the spectrum. Some fell in the world that was, we know as it is written in the 12th chapter of Revelation, a third of them even worshipped and went with Satan. But we know that a handful stood against Satan and earned the privilege to have been chosen. And that, rather than make you a flying angel, makes you a workhorse for God, or a racehorse if that makes you feel better. I believe it does. A racehorse for God, all right? And he will intercede in your lives. He certainly will. Why? He loves you. Even when we mess up, and we all do things that we're ashamed of at times. Some of us more than just once a year. Let's see, it was 3 years ago. All the time. You say something or you do something and wouldn't it be something if you could be everywhere to everyone? But that's Christ's job, all right? So you have to stay in the traces at what he gives you to do and keep plowing, all right? And he'll do the rest. It's not to say you're not going to be corrected, but it's a precious calling. Hoopah. When you're in trouble, He supernaturally intercedes. That's biblical. Check it out yourself. Romans 8, verse 26, in the Greek tongue. It's powerful. It's love. His love for you. Father, we thank You for the privilege of gathering together in Thy name, Father. Father, to study Thy words, use these, Father. Father, we humbly stay before You, knowing we're not somebody, as some people would take it, not on any ego trips, but humble servants of Thine to do Thy will. We ask that You be with us in this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. In your life, and with that union, carry it for you.